The 16th chapter. Preachers, listen. Bible school students, I want you to hear every word. The eyes of the Lord. Hear me now. The eyes of the Lord run, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, God's looking for something. Because the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, throughout the whole earth. Listen, you know what God's looking for? God is looking for miracle workers. God's looking for men and women that can work miracles. God's looking for men and women that'll burn out for God, that'll lay everything at His feet, that'll lay everything down at His feet, take up the cross daily and follow Jesus, say an eternal yes, yield to God, believe the promises of God from Genesis to Revelation, be filled with the Holy Ghost, go further, receive a double portion until the power of God saturates them and the Holy Ghost anoints them, because Isaiah said, the anointed, the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. There has never been a time when so many people are yoked up with the devil. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses began to say, thou shalt serve thine enemy, thou shalt bow down to him, and he that is the devil shall put a yoke of iron around thy neck until thou be destroyed, because thou wouldst not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. We never lived in a day and an hour when there's so much sickness, disease, and infirmity in the church. Psychiatrists, medical doctors have never been so perplexed over the multitudes of people that are going violently insane and nervous collapse overnight. America's number one sickness is not cancer or heart disease. It is mental sickness. Every other bed in the nation is occupied by somebody who's mentally sick. There has never been a time when so many people crossed the nation, flying from every state in the Union, coming from the islands of the sea. Many of them are telling me, in my town, in my city, there is no church where I can be healed by God's power. Listen, God, in this day and in this hour, is looking for miracle workers. He's looking for young people. He's looking for old alike. Because Joel in the second chapter declared that God would pour out of His Spirit on all flesh. Joel said further that God was going to restore to the church all the gears, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm were destroyed. But that he meant God was going to restore the gift of healing to the church. This day God was going to restore the gift of miracles, the gift of wisdom and knowledge and everything the early church had. The church today, God promised He's going to have it because He is going to restore everything the devil took away. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, God has listed 9 supernatural gifts. One of those 9 supernatural gifts is the gift of miracles. Another is the gift of healing. Hear me, 1900 years ago, Jesus called His disciples around Him, laid His hands upon them, called them, and commissioned them, ordained them and set them aside, and when He called them, He commissioned them to preach the word. And He said further to them, let me quote to you from Matthew 10:7. He said, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But He said, don't until He receives. And prison a sick and soul sick world, dying without God. You can't even give them salvation until first you've received it. You can't heal the sick, neither can you lay hands on people, command that they receive the Holy Ghost, unless you've received a mighty endowment of power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. 1900 years ago, Jesus commissioned His disciples to preach, but not to preach only. Philip went to Samaria, and He to win the heathen and bring the multitudes to God. It's going to take more than a weak, insipid little lectureship. It's going to take the mighty power of God and the supernatural ministry that Jesus had. Philip knew it wasn't enough to preach Christ. He preached Christ unto them, but nobody believed the word that He said until they saw the miracles He performed. And the Scripture said, the multitudes gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing. What? hearing and seeing. Hearing and seeing the miracles he performed. And when they saw the miracles that he performed, he had no trouble in getting the seasons for Christ. He had a citywide revival, and the mighty said there was much rejoicing in that city. 1900 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ called us and gave us the Great Commission. And he said, go ye. This is the Great Commission. And the unfulfilled commission is the disobeyed command. Because when he said go, he commanded it. Did he do that? He commanded us to go. He commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. The literal rendering means with something evidential, with signs, with wonders, and with miracles. But after 1900 years, did you know that today that there are 400 that have never heard the name of Jesus? Around the world, there's still 2,000 tongues without even the gospel, that much of the Bible, without even the gospel of John. Not one page of the Bible, not that much. 1,800 languages into which no portion, not one page of the Bible has ever been translated. Church, don't you tell me you're ready for Jesus when there's still 1,800 languages, 2,000 tribes, and 2,000 tongues that have never heard this, that have never read it, but God said it was going to be published in all nations. It's going to be preached, not just a little lectureship, but it's going to be preached as Philip preached it. We just came from one of the greatest overseas campaigns we've ever preached. From the Muslim capital of the Philippines. One great tribe of Muslims, they call them there, 300,000. And the old-fashioned missionary method, I have the book in my briefcase. There's only one way. One missionary sponsored by a full gospel denomination from America said that the Muslims could ever be won. He said they must be won only one at a time. One for the congregation. One, a preacher. Only two. The preacher, personal work, one at a time, one at a time. But when that missionary from one of the leading full gospel denominations here in America sat on our platform, and even in the mornings when Brother Rogers made one simple, clean-cut altar call, bringing the people away from the sin and away from idol worship and away from the devil and away from their false doctrines and away from their false prophets, to Christ only, Jesus only. And in an afternoon service, literally see thousands pack and jam around a platform. And I look and I see the Muslim priests with their white paraphernalia on their heads. And oh, then the Muslim men and the Muslim women denoted by their peculiar dress. And that missionary looked and he said, my God, this must be God's time to reach the Muslims. I said, brother, God has always been ready. It is already ready and always been God's time. And the man said, surely this must be God's time. He said, we have never seen God move, and we have never seen the Muslims come to God by the thousands. By his old method, one at a time, and maybe work for months on one Muslim, and then not win him for Christ. In the same book, here is what he said. He said, if any missionary doing a lifetime of ministry among the Muslims, if he in a whole lifetime of missionary efforts could win one adult Muslim for Christ, then he could die knowing and having the consolation that his life and his ministry had been a complete success if he could win only one adult Muslim for God in a lifetime. But when he saw them coming by the thousand, I think he's going to rewrite his book. I said, I believe he's going to rewrite his book. Why, he said, this must be God's time. He said, I never could die knowing and having the consolation that his life and his ministry had been a complete success if he could win only one adult Muslim for God in a lifetime. But when he saw them coming by the thousand, I think he's going to rewrite his book. I said, I believe he's going to rewrite his book. Why, he said, this must be God's time. He said, I've never seen anything like this in all my life. He said, Brother Allen, he said, this isn't what we believed. This isn't what we've been taught. This is not what we've been preached. And I thought, my God, it's been in the book all the time. Where did I get my wild ideas? That's what some people, Brother, I got it out of the Bible. He said to me, have you written a book? I said, not along this line, but I know somebody else wrote one. Somebody else wrote one. Somebody else wrote a book. Somebody else wrote a book. The Holy Ghost wrote a book. This book would tell us how to get the job done. But hear me, friend, 1900 years ago, Christ gave the Great Commission, and he said, go ye, but how in the world can the church declare and say she is ready for the coming of Jesus? But when from the fingertips of the church, put your hands out, everybody. Put your hands out in front of you. Just put your hands out. Look at them. My Bible school students and high school students here from the school in Miracle Valley, put your hands up. Can you say, can the church declare she is ready for the coming of Jesus when in our generation we let 750 million heathen slip through our fingers? I said the church can't be ready. The church is not ready for the coming of Jesus when in our generation we let 750 million heathen slip through our fingers in one generation. In my lifetime, 750 million heathen went to hell without God. 140 million Latins, our closest neighbors, the most unevangelized territory in the world, our backdoor neighbors, the closest neighbors to the greatest evangelized territory in the world, America, and yet 140 million bound in sin and bound by the devil, bound in darkness, still bowing down to images and still bowing down to idols and kissing big toes. My God, my God, my God! That's not the way to heaven. You'll never get to heaven kissing something's toe. This gospel must be preached. Yes. There's only one way to preach it. That's like Jesus said. It's going to be preached. Amen. With what? With signs and with wonders and with miracles. Because it's the only gospel that will bring the heathen out of darkness and persuade them that this is the way, and this is the way that God wants them to walk. This gospel has not been preached around the world to every nation with signs, with wonders, and with miracles. But that's the kind of ministers God's looking for. God never called a preacher to preach unless he called him to heal the sick, cast out devils, and to perform the miraculous. God never did ordain or set aside or call a preacher to preach only. But he said, heal the sick, cast out devils, and even raise the dead. And he said, freely you have received, then freely give. But here's the secret. Many of you, if aren't careful, you'll be tempted of the devil to disregard everything I've said because you don't believe in it. But one thing you're going to have to do is tell me it come out of the Bible. So under the circumstances, God's heart's still heavy. He's still speaking to men and women. But there's a multitude of men and women that won't obey the voice of God. But in this day and in this hour, the darkest hour the world has ever known, more heathen today than in human history, without God and without a hope in the world. Listen, God is looking for miracle workers. God is looking for men and women that can work miracles. Because the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout all the earth. To what? To shew himself strong. In behalf of who? In the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. You get this? Preachers, young people, you that go to our Christian high school and you that are in Bible school, God is looking for a miracle workers today. But God will never find a miracle worker in you until he finds your heart is perfect toward him. But the eyes of the Lord are running down this front row tonight, down this second row of young people, preachers. The eyes of the Lord are running down that third row. God's looking at your heart. God's looking at your heart. God's looking at your heart. The eyes of the Lord run across this front row, and the eyes of the Lord are in this home. The eyes of God are looking in that living room. Hear me. Every one of you that watched this telecast, many of you are not church members, but you've been wondering what happened to the power the church was supposed to have. Many of you don't even go to church, but you're wondering, maybe, if the Bible is true, because the church, where you may go once in a while, professes so much and possesses so little. And even sinners have heard this and believe it, and they say, why don't preachers and the church members believe it? But they have a way of explaining it away. And in the meantime, the one thing that God has ordained that should bring the heathen into the millions is the very one thing that most people shove aside, and they say it is not for today, it cannot be attained, it is not possible to have such a ministry, when the Bible teaches it all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. But here is the secret to God showing himself strong. That means powerful, omnipotent, a miracle worker God, working God, in behalf of who? Why, he wants to show himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. Do you believe a man could be perfect? Do you believe our heart could be perfect? Now, if we can't, why did Matthew say in the 5th chapter, the 48th verse, and it's a command, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, the old denominational idea that if a man was perfect, God would take him away. That's not true. If you'd ever get your heart perfect toward God, pray through and get right, God might want to leave you here a while for an example. Tell you this, in the first chapter of Job, the 8th verse, here's a man, the Bible said, and he was a perfect and an upright man, Job 1:8. And God didn't take him. God left him here as an example to the church today. Right? Genesis 6:8. My Bible says, and I quote from the 9th verse, Noah was perfect in his generation. And God didn't take him. God left him here and put a record in the book. How many hundred years he walked with God after his heart was perfect. Are you listening? Don't get that old idea, and it's a mistaken idea, that if any man had ever get right and ever become perfect, he would just melt and disappear. God would take him out of this world. Why, did you know that Paul said in the 3rd chapter of Philippians, the 12th verse, let us therefore as many as be perfect. You believe it's possible? Now Luke said in the 6th chapter of the 40th verse, the disciple is not above his master. We are not God. We are not Jesus. But Jesus laid down the law of perfection, cleanliness, holiness of mind, and purity of heart. And he has laid down the law. And he said that the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And here's the secret. Jesus said, the works I do shall you do also. Yea, even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. People say, I don't believe I can do the works that Jesus did. Then why did he tell you you could? And why did he command you to do it? He said, heal the sick, cast out the devils, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead. He said, be perfect. And text and I declared that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. God's looking for what? Why, God's looking for a man whose heart is perfect, so God can show him his power. Friend of mine, listen to me. If you get your heart perfect toward God, God will let you know his power. Webster tells us that the word perfection means complete. Now, you mean we can't be complete in Christ? It means whole. You mean the blood of Jesus and the power of God won't make us whole? The word perfect means finished. God can show him his power. Friend of mine, listen to me. If you'll get your heart perfect toward God, God will let you know his power. Webster tells us that the word perfection means complete. Now, you mean we can't be complete in Christ? It means whole. You mean the blood of Jesus and the power of God won't make us whole? The word perfect means finished. It means without defect and without blemish. It means lacking nothing. It means perfect likeness. It means blameless. The highest type of excellency. But do you know why God's given us the Bible? In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Scripture says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspired of God, this whole Bible. So it's all inspired of God. Is that right? Then it is profitable for what? For doctrine, to preach. For reproof, to line people up. It is profitable for correction, to correct people. And for instruction in righteousness, listen, that the man of God, talking about me, you, that the man of God may be perfect, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. This is God's Word, inspired of God, and God has given it to me that as I read it and I line up with His Word, I can be perfect. And as He looks and His eyes run to and fro throughout all the earth, He can find my heart is perfect. Send me a mighty power and anointing of God that can perform the miraculous. Put your hands up and say amen, everybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. James said in the first chapter, the fourth verse, let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Do you believe you can be that way? I'm going to have to quit preaching. But I tell you what I want to do. If you want the rest of this sermon, write for my book, The Price of God's Miracle Working Power. This 13 chapters consist of 13 sermons God preached to me in a prayer closet more than 20 years ago when in fasting and prayer I told God I couldn't preach another sermon unless He met me personally with a supernatural power and endued me with supernatural gifts to preach the gospel like He told me. God preached me 13 sermons. I put it in a book. One chapter in this is on perfection. Just a whole lot of what I'm giving you tonight. Write for it. The price of God's miracle working power. And if you'll read it, you'll tell me it's next to the Bible. And I'll guarantee that every one of you to read it with an open heart. God will make you perfect toward Him. And when His eyes run to and fro throughout all the earth looking for a miracle worker, because He is, someone to whom He can show Himself powerful and strong, He'll find you and He'll say, son, I have chosen you. Stand with me, young people. Everybody in the congregation tonight, stand. This is your night. You in your home, bow your head. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that somehow tonight, every one of you that have watched this telecast and all of you under the tent will make the consecration. We're going to come streaming to this altar with 1,000 for one purpose, one reason. And that's that God, if there's something in you that isn't clean, God will cleanse you. If there's something in your heart that shouldn't be there, God will remove it. If you're not sanctified, you can be sanctified tonight. If you're not filled with the Spirit, God's going to fill you. But many of you have had an experience that have been filled, and you need to be refilled. This is your night. And when this service is over, and if necessary, I'm going to line you up and pray for you one at a time as you march over this ramp. And God is going to make your heart perfect toward Him. Because from this convention, God has promised me 10,000 miracle workers. If you want to be one, put up both hands. If you want to be one, raise both hands to heaven. If you want to be one of the 10,000 that leave this convention with perfect hearts, do what I tell you. Get ready to help me, ushers. Young people, come out of that fire as fast as you can run. Come up on this ramp in front of me. I want every one of you here in this meeting, in this splinter camp that feel the call of God on your heart, feel the call of God in your soul, you feel that God's called you to minister, you feel that God's called you to preach, God's called you to heal the sick, God's called you to cast out devils and preach the word, and yet in your life, there is that not that anointing, there is not that power, hear me, there is not the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Come now, come running down these aisles and stand up in front of me as fast as you can come. Stand in front of me as fast as you can come. Come down these aisles with 1,000. This is your night. There'll never be another night like it. Every one of you called to be ministers. Every one of you that God's called to be preachers. Come down these aisles. Stand in front of me. Fill up this space in front of me. You there in your home. God wants to do something for you. God wants to set you free. He wants to fill you with the Spirit. If you're unsaved, God wants to save you. Do what I tell you. Bow your heads there in your home. Say, oh God, let my heart be perfect toward thee. Lord, pick me out as a miracle worker. I want to be a blessing to the billions that are without Christ and without God. And remember, God will do it if you get your heart perfect toward Him. Ask God to give you a new heart. Put a new spirit in you. Raise your hands, young people.